All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all the latest sporting matters from around the Rebel County and further afield. John Cleary's footballers are currently in action in Super Value Parky Keeve against Westmeath in their Allianz Division 2 clash. The latest there is 110 to 19 in Cork's favour. That's at the halftime. I spoke to Matthew Hurley a few minutes ago. Unfortunately, the line was on the poor side, so couldn't be played out on air. But he has said Chris Oak-Jones has been very good for Cork, bagging himself a goal, as well then as Brian O'Driscoll from wing back with a few points. He also added, we probably need to look to our bench for the second half, as we have a stronger one than Westmeath, of course, and I will do my best to keep you updated from all matters in the park. Munster are also in action against the Scarlets in Thomond Park, a different type of park. After 36 minutes, it's 7-3 in Munster's favour. Not exactly a classic by any stretch of the imagination. But speaking of Munster, let's now hear an excerpt from the Red 78 podcast with their very own Rory O'Hagan, as well as Munster legends Fiona Hayes and Alan Quinlan.
Yeah, Quinny put out a tweet last night, so fair play to everyone getting back. I'll just call out a couple there. So, Keane McGibney, are we any close knowing the identity of the next Munster head coach? The fact with a large number of key players have re-signed, as well as Dan Kelly arriving next year, suggests the announcement can't be far off. Regards, Keane McGibney. So, any inside info on that, Quinny?
No, I think the process has accelerated a bit. I believe there's applicants being spoken to. I'm not sure about being interviewed or where it's at. So look, I don't know. I think it's a well-kept secret anyway. I think it was stagnant for a while as regards my own understanding. Again, it's only my own summation of it, that they were waiting to see who was available, and probably to get to this period of a little bit of downtime as regards there wasn't matches week after week after week. So I don't know. I imagine sometime soon we'll know more as to what's happening. Regarding players re-signing and stuff like that, I doubt if players are re-signing based on, well, such and such a coach is coming in, and or Mike Prendergast has taken over. Yeah. Obviously, that would be a factor if it was something they could use. But I think most people in that situation, you know, would be basing their re-signing on wanting to stay with the club. Now, there's a very good argument to say, well, Dan Kelly, who's his head coach next year? So has he signed with not knowing who the head coach is? Well, I don't know. Maybe he does, but it's. I doubt it. I don't think the process is sorted fully yet. I think the argument there to get someone to sign is you'd be arguing, saying, well, the current coaches, on-field coaches, are all in place, and that the head coach isn't at the moment. But yeah, not ideal, and it's still going on and on.
Yeah, I think what I heard there, Rory, was they're waiting for Warren Gatland. Is that what he said, wasn't it?
God, they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you.
Go ahead, Jesus. John wrote in as well, pity not more Munster, non-Leinster reputation on the Irish team. Those 50-50, this is interesting, Quinny, those 50-50 bench calls should go to represent the country that we follow as supporters in good times and bad. The coaching team seem to dismiss the idea, but I think they and the RFU are missing the point. What do you reckon about that, those 50-50 calls are?
Looking at the so it's the bench mainly 50-50 calls. I don't know. I think for me, automatically, without delving deep into it, I would just say I would never like to go down that road of, well, there's a 50-50, yeah. And my thought process then is get a Munster player, a Connacht player, an Ulster player on the bench. I think in an ideal world, if it was very close and that you were going to get the same kind of impact off each player, yeah, I think it may sway a coach. I don't know. But yeah, it'd be great if there was more representation. Sure, that's something we're always talking about. But the best players are from, you know, the majority of these best players are from Leinster at the moment. And that's, for me, it's about picking. When you go into an Ireland camp, and I, you know, whether people believe this or not, I didn't really... never put any thought process into, well, there's a guy from Connacht, there's a guy from Leinster, a guy from Ulster, and I'm not going to put in a shift with them to try and do well in the jersey. So, I get the point, and it'd be in an ideal world. I think Paul O'Connell addressed it a few weeks ago. He was asked at one of the press conferences, but the other provinces and the other players just got to get better and put their hands up and be really consistent. There is an argument. You'll always have an argument with one or two players, but I think if you look at the Ireland bench that came off that impacted at the weekend, it was a very, very, very strong bench, and I don't know if there's, you could argue strongly for anyone else being there. I think, and I said this, I have to be very careful what way I say it about Cian Healy. You know, he's Cian Healy's 37 now, he's around a long time. From an Irish point of view, it would be great if there was, you know, Jack Boyle is coming through there and he's in the squad. But you pick a team in the Six Nations to win matches, and you know, I think again, it'd be lovely if there was more representation, but I don't think it's applicable at the moment or a possibility.
All right, guys, just some news that's actually just come in there while we've been chatting live. Breaking news on the Red 7-day podcast. Tadhg Byrne has signed a new 2-year contract. Extensions remain with Irish Rugby and Munster Rugby until 2027. Made his test debut in green against Australia in 2018. He's won 58 caps, the last which against Scotland over the weekend. Fiona, that's fantastic news.
Yeah, how lucky are we to have him? I mean, it's week after week. I think every single time he's playing, he's in the conversation for Star of the Week as well. But it's when he gets up to that international level, you see the real quality, what he does, his work rate. He's, I suppose it's his breakdown, even in second row, wherever he's playing on the pitch, he manages him to get himself involved in turnovers, just getting in on the ball. And he's just been absolutely superb for Munster and Ireland, and absolutely delighted to see him sign on as well. Because I know a lot of people as well would say, oh, he came up through Leinster. But look, he went overseas and Munster spotted him back playing with Munster a long time, and he's now the captain. And you can, even in chatting to him, you can see he's Munster through and through now.
Yeah, 85 caps for Munster Quinney, club captain as well. You see that blue scrum cap just go hunting for the ball to break down. He's just an incredible player.
Yeah, the consistency that you associate with Tadhg Byrne's performances is just second to none all the time. It's very, very good news. They need more good news. They need more players coming through. They need Edmund Odogwo back. We need some John Klein back. We need more power in that pack. I think with Lee Barron, Michael Mill coming in next year, Dan Kelly has signed. Ben Brownlee's there in a short-term contract from Leinster, a very good player, young player as well. They're the kind of good news stories you want. We've been blabbering on about for months about all the injuries and the negative impact and the depth of the squad. It's good news, I think, and you know, when you get a big signing like that, a big player re-signing, it can energise the rest of the squad and attract more people and attention to the group. So, you know, his performances have been sublime. He's 33 now, so that'll take him up to his maybe 35, 36, and we're seeing no decline in his performances. And I think that's probably the key. So again, I'm sure this was agreed weeks ago or maybe a month or two ago, but it's great that it's you know, it's announced. I thought you were going to announce that there's a new head coach now, but that's really good news, because you think of where Munster were last year and the year before, losing players, injuries. For him to recommit is a very important positive one.
Yeah, moving things along from rugby to football. And Cork City got off to, drawing ways in their Premier Division opener versus Galway United in Turner's Cross last night with a 2-2 draw. Strange type of a game, I thought. City were well in control until the injury of our superstar, Cathal O'Sullivan. A lot of rumours flying around. He hurt his ACL, others saying it's a lesser injury. So City fans the world over will be wishing the best for Cathal. Hopefully it is on the lesser side and he'll be back playing in the City jersey in no time at all. Cahill, of course, one of the most talented players we've seen at the cross for some time. Malik Dykstiel bags himself a lovely goal to kick off proceedings. Keeper should have done better, but we'll take it. Patrick Hickey then equalises just before the half. Greg Bulger then proves why he's just such a Rolls-Royce of a player when he pops up for a rare goal. But then Galway bag their second equaliser. It's probably a game that we did need to win when us playing Rovers Way next Sunday, as well as Bowes then coming to the cross after. I think we might live to regret that one last night, but it was a good, solid performance on the whole, and nice to be back in Premier Division, that's all I'll say. The atmosphere in Turner's Cross, as always, is absolutely rocking. Enough for me about it all. Our own Colm O'Sullivan caught up with gaffer Tim Clancy after the game.
2-2 draw, are you happy with the point? Look, it's good to get it's good to get off the mark. Disappointing probably to win a half time level. I thought we were by far the better team first half. Again, we conceded the goal. We conceded the first half was really poor. It's to their strength. They were excellent at last season. It's just a long straight ball. Patrick Hickey gets on the end of it. Walshy gambles. We didn't gamble. And then he goes wide and just big loop and cross. And Pat Hickey attacks the ball. It's what they do. You got to try and stop it at source. But it's a brilliant header from Hickey as well, in fairness. And to win a half-time 1-1, I thought we were probably a bit unlucky.
Two great strikes from your two players, from Dykstiel and Greg Bulger. Two great goals, but unfortunately pegged back both times.
Yeah, again, look, it's a really pleasing thing for us is we won't come up against a physical battle as much as Galway. It was probably the worst game for us to play tonight. I know I read some things during the week that the back four haven't played at this level, and Freddie being a young lad, I said, look, he stood up to it there today. I thought he was excellent. Brilliant positioning. Play for such a young player. Again, he's going to get better and better. He probably won most of his duels. And again, I think as the pitches improve, I think he'll probably play more into our hands. I don't think the bad pitch, not bad pitches, in brilliant condition considering the rain that we've had, but it was probably got a little bit bobbly second half. It certainly didn't affect all his style of play.
You mentioned Freddie there. You had four new signings starting in this, the starting 11 tonight. Happy with how the lads did?
Yeah, I thought they were excellent. Thought Benny got forward really well on occasions. TT in goal was tremendous. He made one very good save. Went through bodies and he low down to his left in the middle of the goal. He came and caught some crosses and his distribution is very good as well. So Rio was very good in the middle of the pitch as well, but he picked up a yellow and the way they were throwing themselves on the ground, they were looking for second yellows, and they're very, very streetwise, which you expect from John and Ollie in the dugout. So we couldn't risk someone else going down easily and getting a second yellow.
Bit of a worry and a bit disappointing for the crowd to see Cahill O'Sullivan going off injured. What's the update on him? How is he?
It looks like it's an impact injury. He made a tackle and then I think Pat Hickey, who's about 9 foot tall, fell on top of him. So, and Cahill's about 3 foot tall. So, no, I think Pat came down on him and landed on him. And it's just more of an impact injury on Cahill's knee. So, he seems okay. Hopefully he'll be fine for Sunday week.
Just a word for the crowd tonight. Over 5,000 people here again. The Shed in full voice. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. And they were right behind you from the start.
Yeah, listen, it's expected. Fan base down here is second to none in this country. The Shed, again, is unbelievable when it's full and they're singing. And it's for us to try and get them on the edge of their seat and excite them, and probably the only benefit from or the negative was they let all the flares off and I missed my least chance after 10 seconds. I couldn't see it through the smoke, but
at least it didn't go in that case.
No, I wish I had gone in, but no, listen, they were excellent, and they're going to be a big part in us being being successful this season or not.
And just finally, a tough one next week against Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, look, it's probably the complete opposite threat that we'll be up against, and tactically and whatnot, we'll have to prepare slightly different. But again, it's not any less of a threat. It's just a different type of game we'll be up against in Tala.
Thanks a million, Tim. Cheers.
Cheers, thank you.
Colm O'Sullivan also got up with a man who's no stranger to Turner's Cross, Galway United manager, but formerly of this parish, John Caulfield.
John Caulfield, 2-2 draw. Are you happy with the result, first of all?
Yeah, I think we are, Colm, to be honest, to be fair to City. They came out with the blocks the first 15 minutes. They were outstanding. Crow was electric. They certainly had a couple of chances to go ahead. We were riding our luck and We thought we'd weather the storm without us really causing enough of problems. We felt that areas we'd worked on we hadn't done well. No, saying that it's still the winter time. Cullum and the pitch cut up very heavy, and but to be fair, City played really well, and Shawnee and Rory were really good up top, and then they got the goal 10 minutes before half time. Brendan, in fairness to him, you know, put his hand up, so he should have saved it. And I suppose Dylan, the stroke at half time, great cross at the box, Hickey with a brilliant header, 1-1, probably didn't deserve that. But at the same time, we spoke at half time and we gave away Greg gets a fantastic strike. We're 2-1 down, but my lads have shown great character for the last couple of years, and they're honest guys, and we battled back. Vince came off the bench, Fitzboard got a great goal, and then probably in the last 50 minutes we thought we'd win the match, but we're certainly happy going home with a point, Cullum.
You know as well as anyone, probably better than anyone, how difficult a place Turner's Cross is to come to, so to come from behind twice tonight is brilliant from your lads, really, isn't it?
Well, it is. I think the thing with us, you can see we're with the support in Galway over the last 12 months, the crowds have been really big. The people have come back to support the team. We've got a lot of new support, and you can see tonight, you know, whatever we had, 300 or 400. And but they can see with this team, they're honest, they're gutsy, and they'll give everything. If you give everything, win or lose, that's all you can ask for, Cullum. But tonight, coming down with a fantastic atmosphere, and you know me, Cullum, the best venue that I think, and for us to come back for twice, show great character by the team, and you know, we did ride our luck at times, but yeah, we're happy with the point.
Great atmosphere here tonight, as you mentioned. I mean, over 5,000 here tonight. The shed was rocking. Galway had great support, and the whole place was just brilliant for League of Ireland football, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, haven't we crying out this for years? And there's a bit of a buzz in the last 3 or 4 years about the league. All the teams are full time, huge numbers. Games every week live on TV, which is what we want, Cullum. Massive coverage by yourselves. And Cullum, like that's what we want. We just have bigger crowds, and showing the quality and the excitement. And no matter, you know, at times, you know, there was misplaced passes tonight, but I think everyone's at the match was a roller coaster of a game, intense. There was no letting up, it was non-stop action, and that's brilliant for the supporters, and maybe not as good for the managers, but certainly for the supporters, Cullum.
Great, thanks, John.
Cheers, Cullum, thank you.
Even John Caulfield remembers it as the best stadium in the country. Anyways, earlier today I was delighted to be joined by Cove Ramblers' Kian Coleman. It does feel very weird saying that after all his time in the City jersey. But anyways, what a start it was for Kian and Cove Ramblers for them to get a last-minute winner against Tralee United away from home. Enjoy this one. We're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by Kian Coleman of Cove Ramblers. Kian, what a way to start the season for Cove Ramblers, coming from 2-0 from behind to Tralee United to win the game 3-2. Talk through that one.
Yeah, brilliant result. We obviously started the game well 20 minutes in, but obviously we found ourselves 2-0 down. Two soft goals we weren't happy with. But Greg Hart wasn't able to come back and win, so delighted with it.
And you were the one who kicked things off. Talk through your own goal.
Yeah, I actually missed a chance in the corner before that, so I wasn't happy about it, so I redeemed myself anyway, but Balch came in front post, actually went for a header and hit off my knee and went in, but they all come, so happy with it.
Look, Kian, the atmosphere, how many did you bring to the Americas Field with you?
I'm not sure, to be honest, there was a good following behind the goal anyway, and the third goal then went in, it was scenes, alright, so it's always nice getting a late winner, like, so especially after being 2-0 down and we scored 3 goals in the ground for 10 minutes or something, so it was brilliant.
Brilliant stuff. And what was Mick saying to you after the game?
Well, it was delighted just with the character we showed. Obviously, half time we weren't happy. We didn't play badly, but there was a 15-minute spell where we weren't great. And obviously, they were one up in that stage, and we let them into the game that way. But we knew ourselves at half time that there was way more in us, and we showed that, I suppose, towards the end of the game.
Yeah, there must be a bit of getting the band back together. Feel down in Cove Ramblers from the Cork City side at the moment. Murphy, yourself, Coffey, I think you're forgetting. So, Jack Doherty. Obviously, but he's out injured at the moment. Is it nice to have all those lads around you?
It's good, yeah. You know, obviously, I know him personally, and obviously, I haven't played with him before. Helps, obviously, you know, coming to a new team. Yeah, it's good we're all together. It's easy for us to gel on the pitch. Obviously, we know each other's game and stuff like that, so that can always help.
How big of a loss is Jack Doherty going to be in this side for the season?
Massive loss, yeah. Obviously, a disaster when I heard of his injury in pre-season. I hadn't signed yet, like, but that's a massive loss. I think he's doing well with his rehab tomorrow, so that's good. But look, we've got our players that can fill in, and we've got a good squad there, so hopefully we'll do all right.
And how happy were you for Kian Murphy to get his reward last night?
Delighted, yeah. Obviously I've played him for years now, and I know what type of player he is. You know, he'll run all day, he'll do all the hard yards, and I suppose he doesn't get the rub the green sometimes with goals, like, but I'm delighted for him because he runs all day for the team and he deserves the goal, especially with him.
Absolutely. Well, what's been the mantra from Mick McDermott this season? Is it only going up will do, or is it just game by game?
It's just game by game, yeah. We're not born out, but look, we just want to compete. And look, if we play ourselves properly, we know how good our squad is, and hopefully we'll be at the right end of the table at the end of the season.
I know I asked you this before, but do you feel like it's a two-horse race between yourself and Dundalk? Obviously, your result went their way last night as well.
Nah, Jesus, we're totally even top of that. There's a long way to go yet, so everyone will go for it, so we'll see what happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. In the First Division, how do you see it as a whole this year? Do you see it as more competitive than maybe than last year?
There was, yeah, I suppose. Across the league, we ran away out of last year. Seems to be a bit more tighter this year, but like I said, it's early. This after one game, so we can't really predict how it'll go, but from looking at what other squads like, it will be more tight.
A new goalkeeper in Cove Ramblers as well. How do you think he fared last night?
He made a brilliant save, right? Mm-hmm. At one stage. But look, he's done well since he's come in. But look, all these new players and all, it'll take us time to gel together, and once we do, I'm sure we'll be a much better side than what we've shown so far, even though we won, so it'll take time.
Absolutely. What are you expecting from Kerry down in St. Collins Park this Friday?
Be a tough game, yeah. Like I said, obviously they've made a few good signings as well themselves. They played them last year, they're better than the year before, and I presume they'll be better again this year. So look, there's no easy game in the First Division, they're all sticky. But look, we know what we can do, so once we're out of hopefully we get through results.
Alright, Keane Coleman, thanks so much for speaking to us, and best of luck with the rest of the season.
Cheers, thanks very much.
Yeah, great stuff from Keane Coleman. Best of luck to him and everyone in Cove Ramblers for the season ahead. The ref's whistle has gone for halftime, but stay with us. There's plenty of GA action to come in the second half. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. The latest from Parky Keeve is Cork 215 to Westmeath 216. The Rebels really do need to turn that one around, especially with Monaghan and Roscommon games coming up. They really need the 2 points from this one. And the latest in Thomond is Munster at 12 points to the Scarlets 3 points. So things going well in Thomond, maybe not so well in a Super Value Parky Keeve, but let's hope the fortunes change there. Now, to a very special interview I had during the week, an excerpt from Sports Joe's the GA Hour. I was lucky enough to be joined by Meath GA legend Mickey Burke, the man with over 200 inter-county appearances from across both Gaelic football and hurling for the Royal County. Not Cork-based, but trust me, there's still so much to be taken from this interview. Just a forewarning, he does discuss his battle with his eating disorder from his days at inter-county, but powerful stuff here. Enjoy.
Are you the only inter-county player to have up over 200 appearances?
Well, no, I wouldn't say so. The only reason I know that is because when that was happening, there was obviously a few interviews, and there was a chap from Carlow that would have a lot of appearances. Sean Kavanagh has over 200.
Wow.
Stephen Cluxton has over 200. And Ross Munley from Laois, the former Laois footballer. So there's about four or five lads that... have over 200 appearances, so I'm led to believe. So it's not something I ever dreamed of or aimed for. You know, it just happens, you know. So
you could see why Cluxton maybe would have it, being a goalkeeper and all, but playing out the field as you do, like, what's the reason behind your unheard of, basically, longevity?
Well, I've always had a love for the game, a natural love for the game, love training, had fierce pride in playing for my club, Longwood and for Meath. Always wanted to try and get better. Was always into kind of one percenters as well. And, you know, 10 years ago, ice baths now were a big thing, but 10 years ago I was sitting in the ice bath after training and I was stretching and I was eating broccoli and me protein and drinking protein shakes and all little things like that. I don't know if that has a, you know, a massive impact, but maybe it does.
Is even in regards to maybe not even physically, but, you know, mentally, you kind of feel like you're at the top of your game. You know, rather than a lad who's just eating a burger or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I can even think back to, you know, 2010. What's that? 50? I remember having skins tights on me after games and, you know, like the compression tights for long distance journeys and things like that. So I would have been siphoning through books of different players over the years. And you need a little bit of luck as well to get through the seasons. But I think... you know, the gym work and all that type of thing, and nutrition has definitely prolonged my career. I'd have no doubt about that.
Well, what's the main thing for the prolongation, would you say? It's the all down to diet?
Definitely, that's a big help, you know, what you put into your body, and becoming you know, people probably maybe slag me off or whatever about the gym, and you know, I love going to the gym, and but it's definitely to make my body more durable for games. I think the boys will back me up and saying, over the years with the footballers and the hurlers, I don't miss too many trainings. I'm kind of always available for selection, and maybe that's a help that, you know, whether I play 10 minutes or I play the full game, I'm kind of always out there and available for selection, and the strength and conditioning has helped my body be pretty durable.
What is it about the gym that you just adore so much?
I just enjoy it and like it, and you know, even any bit of training for me head, Dan, I like doing something every day. It doesn't have to be unbelievably intensive, but just gives me great confidence, and I think everyone likes lifting a bit of weight and going into the gym and getting a session on, getting a hit on.
What's your favourite exercise?
Probably a squat or maybe a deadlift. A squat, maybe.
What's your max? What have you done in the past? What's your record?
I have for one rep a box squat. Now a high box squat, did 300 kilo
for a GA player. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, and again, look, I don't want a big headline saying this is what I've done. Like, we all have our strengths. I can't run as fast as some lads. I can't run as long as other lads. You know, we all have our natural. I think maybe I kind of had a natural. We had a farm when I was young growing up, and maybe that helped build a bit of natural strength without even knowing. And then the gym were topped it up. So, I just seem to be able to do lift weights fairly easily. It'd be interesting to see maybe if I practiced and did a powerlifting session, what could I do? But yeah, I did a high box squat for that once, and I'd say there was maybe a little bit more in me if I wanted it.
Could have gone down the powerlifting route. Was that ever something that even took your eye?
Maybe just now with social media you can see a bit more of it. That wouldn't have come into your head when you were when you were younger. Do you know what I mean, Dan? But yeah, I think there's a Ronnie Coleman in all of us waiting
to
burst out.
If there's an exercise you could give to every J player in the country to build strength, what would it be?
Yeah, maybe like Olympic lifts are great, but they take a long time to learn and to, I suppose, get good at it instead of hurting yourself. Look, if you can do a good, for young fellas, maybe just doing bodyweight things correctly would be great. Pull up, chin up, press up, a squat, and then bring that on then down the line to adding a bit of weight. But maybe a really good squat is not a bad way to start. Everyone wants the bench and the arms and that, and so do I, but squat probably is the best.
Obviously you're a lot bigger than most GA players out there. I'm not accusing of it at all, but has people gone to you, geez, that lad must be taking something, like, because I imagine that's something that gets thrown fairly candidly out there.
Well, I'm not tall, but I'm stocky, I suppose. But oh yeah, that would have been thrown at me in games, definitely. Yeah, that would have been said to me a good few times by lads from different counties. 100%, yeah, they've often said it.
Is there much sledging that goes on in intercounty?
Yeah, there would be.
Yeah,
you have to do whatever you got to do to get over the line. That's the way I had to play. I actually wasn't a big sledger, to be honest, because I was afraid of, if I started slagging my man off after 5 minutes, he'd bang in 2-2, and then, you know, he'd be laughing at you. So I generally kept my mouth fairly shut, but you have to do whatever you got to do to win. I wasn't the most talented player, so I had to try and put my opposition man off by whatever means. So yeah, sledging would be different counties will be probably more into it than others.
We've seen the Conor Moyler stuff. Is there a line that gets crossed out there?
I think there is a line that you try not to step over. You know, you have to respect people. You don't know what's going on in people's private lives, but some people do take things maybe and bring them off the pitch. I was always someone who, you know, whatever goes in the pitch stays in the pitch, you know.
Yeah. Playing wise, I should say, at what point do you think you played your best stuff over the last 20 odd years?
I think I've played my best stuff in my 30s.
Okay.
And I'm not just saying that because I'm in my 30s now. I think you've built up a knowledge of the game, experience, you know your body and how your body reacts to training and games, your mental preparation. Like, I got the Meath Footballer of the Year, which is probably the biggest individual honour I've got. I got that when I was 34, and I think managers and people can be very ageist now with players, and you know, almost write them off as they get older. Like, look at Conor McManus there, look at Pat Horgan, look at these guys, like, they're still TJ Reid. I think people are understanding more now that players can get better with it, almost get better with age.
Yeah, Pat Ryan was speaking of even hockey even getting faster as he was getting older.
Yeah.
Less muscle. Have you kind of maintained the same level of muscle, or what's your speed metrics? Have they increased, decreased as opposed to when you were younger?
Yeah, like they seem fairly solid. I don't think I've lost any muscle as such. But my GPS, like, we played at the weekend there. I was in the full back line. I think it was like 10.4, 10.5K that I did in total. So yeah, but like the body feels good. You'd be aching after the day after the games, all right, Dan, but look, that's part and parcel of it. But like Hoggy and TJ, like, these boys mind themselves like no other. Mm-hmm. And you can see why they're still on the getting picked in the team.
Looking back, did you put too much emphasis on going to the gym and getting bigger, or was this kind of always a natural part of your game and you used it as a strength?
Maybe for a year or two, I was so I broke my leg in 2010 playing with Meath footballers, and that was probably kind of a 9 month period, you know, of rehab and stuff. And I just remember swearing to myself, I says, like, I'm going to do everything I can to get back in the field and you know, rehab this properly. And I just ate the gym out of it, and maybe I got a little bit too big kind of that time. But with advances in S&C and conditioners, they can tell you what to do and help you along, like. So I always beat the drum of the gym, but I think it's invaluable to lads. You don't have to, it's a balancing act between skills, running, gym work, all those things, but it certainly has helped me in my career, Dan, definitely.
And is that something, look, I've seen in an interview before, I'm trying to be sensitive about the topic, but is that something that led to your eating disorder at one point, when a manager said to you, you're bulking up too much here?
Yeah, that was I suppose, even as a young fella, I was always into food. I don't know where that came out of. I always had a passion and an interest for it, and when I was going to secondary school, I was bringing boxes of fruit. No, like, there was no dietitians there was no social media. I don't know where that came from. Maybe I just knew that eating fruit was better than eating a breakfast roll every single day. But the food issues then with the football and the heel of the reel came along, because the manager said that I was carrying too much muscle and I was too bulky. So I ended up kind of almost starving myself then for the whole year, and it just caused a lot of trouble. But I needed to go and get some help, which I did over it, you know. So it's just something that I have to be mindful of and contain, you know.
Have you ever been able to deal with it well now?
No, I would still say that I could mind myself unbelievably well all week. Mind myself unbelievably well all week, and then, you know, if I had a bad game on the Sunday, I would be inclined to, you know, I would, like, right, maybe I comfort eating, like, I want to eat a load of chocolate or something like that. So I just have to tell myself, you know, this, I'll feel bad in the morning, I'll feel twice as bad in the morning. So just dealing with it. It's,
I don't know how much chocolate, if you don't mind. Are we talking? Are we talking, like, just the dairy milk? Are we talking a box of celebrations? Like,
oh, Jesus. Like, when I was really, really kicking off, there was a box of dairy milk, small dairy milks going off downstairs in the bar. I live above the pub, you know, they were going off. I think there was maybe 16 of them, 16 bars, and I ate them all. So
16
dairy milks, yeah, just gorged through them. Like, it is funny looking back on it, and it's funny now, but at the time, because everyone kind of laughs when you talk about eating, you know, like an eating disorder, you know, how many crisps did you eat, or how much jellies did you eat? And it is funny even when it happened to me, but at the time it was just like, yeah, I was just eating just because I was I don't really know, I wasn't getting much game time maybe in certain weeks, and playing bad, like I'm saying, and it was like a comfort thing.
Well, you know? I suppose there is an upside. You didn't turn to the drink, at least, anyway. You consider a new one a pub, like, I think that's more impressive.
A few people have said that to me, but I ended up going to see Daniel Davey and spoke to Daniel Davey at length about it, and he was really, really good, the former Dublin and Leinster rugby nutritionist, and he was top class and really, really helped me along. You know, it's actually very common. Bizarrely, I thought this was only me. Like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? But
common in sports people.
Didn't know anything about food disorders. Yeah, it was called Red syndrome and rapid energy deficiency. So, like, a lot of female athletes actually, funny enough, have it, and it's basically just training unbelievably hard and starving yourself because mm-hmm. you want to try and be leaner, and you end up getting, you could get very sick, you can, you know, get flus, get injured because you're not fueling your body correctly. So he was a huge help.
Yeah, what tips did he give you to combat it?
He just said that this is something that's, like I'm trying to say, is in you, for whatever reason. You have a, you know, obsession and an interest in food, and you know, you just have to learn to manage it. But he wanted me just to get back to enjoying my meals and eating comfortably, not feeling guilty about having a sandwich, not feeling guilty about having a bowl of porridge in the morning, you know.
Yeah, not saying anything about your teammates, but from in general, do you think addiction is something, you know, in the GA that a lot of people don't realise could be food, it could be drink, it could be drugs, you know, is that do you think common in the GA than people think?
Yeah, I think so. I think the drugs is a huge problem mm-hmm. within the country and within, I know it from my own profession, in the pub, and within clubs. I think you'd be naive to think that it's not.
Yeah.
I'd say gambling is huge. I'm not a gambler. I was actually never into it. The horses or that type of thing, it was just one of the sports that I wasn't really passionate or interested in. But so you can go on your phone and you can gamble away, and
Yeah,
it's a tricky one for society now. It really is for young people. And
well, why do you think they have taken over?
Drugs?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I think it's in every. It used to maybe just be in cities and towns, maybe, but now it's in every rural place. It's very, very prevalent around the country, and you know, it's sad to see. I think that people don't like willpower, and people don't like saying no.
Mm-hmm.
People can't say no anymore. Maybe, you know, you don't want to be the one left out if there's a group of guys that are taking drugs. I don't take drugs or never take drugs, but you know, it takes someone of strong mind and will, if you're 17, 18, 19, to say, listen, no, I don't want that.
Yeah, the peer pressure.
Do you know, peer pressure, exactly. So there's a lot of good work going on, I think, where, you know, different organisations trying to help us, so trying to help clubs and people around the country.
Huge thanks to Mickey there for his time. Great interview and a great person as well. If you were affected by anything discussed, you can contact the National Eating Disorder Association of Ireland on 01210 7906. The latest from Super Value Party Heave. I can say the Rebels got the job done. 318-317. Get the job done, but just about. Never change Cork footballers anyway. Huge results, huge 2 points on the board, especially with the Monaghan and Roscommon games coming up. Now, our attention turns to Camogie. And tomorrow, Cork Camogie begins both its Under-16 and Minor All-Ireland Championships. In the Air Under-16 All-Ireland Championship, Cork travel to Duggan Park in Galway to take on the hosts with a 2 p.m. throw-in. Fresh off of winning the 25 Munster Camogie Under-16A and Under-16B Munster titles, John McCarthy caught up with Cork Camogie Under-16 manager Brennan Foley to preview tomorrow's clash with Galway.
On Sunday at 2 p.m. in Duggan Park in Galway, the Air Under-16 All-Ireland Championships get underway, and Cork, the recently crowned Under-16A Munster champions, take on Galway in their opening group stage. We're delighted to be joined by the Cork Under-16A manager, and that's Brendan Foley. Brendan, you're very welcome to the bench. How are you?
Thanks, sir. Yeah, very good. You're just in from training there now, so...
Yeah, anyone that just comes in after training, I don't keep talking to them too long because I know how tiring it could be for coaches and for managers. Talk to me first about this group of players that you've got, because you've already had success at Under-16A and Under-16B level. A fantastic weekend a couple of weekends ago for Cork Camogie, winning the minor, winning the Under-16A and Under-16B Munster titles. How gratifying was that for you so early in the year to lift silverware with this group of players?
Look, it was great. I know it is an awful time of the year to be trying to play, because
pitches are very hard to come from, you know, everywhere, you know, all over the country at the moment. But it was great to see, like, we initially had a 55 group that we kept together for about 6 weeks after picking, and we chose then the A's and the B's out of this, but we kept them, they're all in the Mardi program together, so they were all still together maybe on a Friday night, you know. But obviously they were separated then for training during the week, but they're a great bunch. They really are, the whole lot of them. And it was really good. It was great for Cork, like, to see, you know, they put up such a performance, especially the A's on the Sunday, and then to be followed up by the B's on the Monday, like, you know. And like, there is, like, probably next year, like, under 17 or minor, that you will see, you could see 7 or 8 of the B's making it onto a minor panel. You'd never know, you know, because, like, it was tough picking the top 30, because there really are, there's some really serious players there on both squads, like, so. You know, it'll be tough for Massey and or whoever has to pick them next year, that's all I know, and I won't have to do it, so.
55 players over two panels. Is that, like, you're on the ground level in Camogie a long time, Brendan, but like, Camogie's always been popular in Cork, to be fair, but yeah. The recent senior success and the back-to-back All-Irelands and the increased media coverage, have you seen an increase in the number of girls trying to get on the panels?
Oh yeah, it's like look, we had 136 girls trialed.
Wow.
This year, right? And I would know all of them. I would have originally picked the under 14 squads 3 years ago, so I would know this group as they would have done last year. So see, we did development squads for 3 or 4 years, so when Mairead Lynch and Mairead Donovan came in, and when Mairead took over as chairperson, Mairead Donovan, she wanted to try a new way going forward, so we were involved in that. And it's the Mardi program has been introduced and everything, and we kind of try to take the parents out of it, if you know what I'm saying, Joe. That, you know, there's obviously still some parents involved under 14 and maybe one or two under 15, but certainly not under 16 or 17 or minor. Like in the old days, you thought there'd always be a parent involved, and we just thought it was a new concept and going forward that. We got as many coaches that we knew, you know, that had no one involved, and it just, I think it's a fairer system, and it's proving it over the last 2 years, because Cork have won, I think they won 4 or 5 under 16s in a row there up to last year, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's the same with the minors, since Jerry Wallace is there, Jerry won, I think, 3 or 4 minors, like, you know, so but the amount of girls, even in my own club Middleton there now, that's 10 years, 11 years old now, there must be 600-700 girls there now, you know, considering we started with probably 40 or 50, you know, it's huge. Camogie is expanded usually in Cork, like, it's great, and it's good to see. It's obviously on the back of the seniors too, like, you know.
Yeah. Well, just those numbers alone, Brendan, that you're talking about, it just shows you, reinforces that point of positive and how fantastic it is. You, as the under 16A manager, and your backroom team have a very busy couple of weeks coming up, starting with Galway on Sunday in the round robin of the under 16 of the Air under 16 Camogie Championship. But you've got some tough games coming up. Who have you got over the coming weeks?
Yeah, so Sunday we're going up to the Lions End, which is Galway. That's their home base, Bannisloe. So I've been up a couple of years there now, watching previous under 16 teams, and it's a tough place to go and try and get a win. So it's one team we don't know actually a whole pile about. Galway are funny in that they didn't send too many teams down for blitzes and stuff last year, or for the under 15 development games did. But so Galway could be anything. Kilkenny, we're home the final week to Kilkenny, and Kilkenny are very good. You know, they have some serious players that we know about over the last, from the 14 to 15. So they'd be really strong. Dublin are coming on as well, in fairness. They're the following 2 weeks after that. And then Limerick, we're home to Limerick 2 weeks after again. And Limerick, obviously, won a Munster and an All-Ireland last year. You know, so they could be anything on the back of that, like, really. And I think the final game is Tipperary, who we know, who we played in once the semi final, and they're really strong, powerful unit. So, you know, we've some tough games now this year, to be fair.
You certainly do. And the idea here is to finish in the top four of that group, and that qualifies you for an All Ireland semi final.
It does, yeah. Yeah. So it's the top four, and depending where you come in the group, like, you know, first would play fourth and second be third. But you would obviously want to try and be at the top of the pile if you can, because, you know, it's better.
It certainly is. Well, it sounds like you've got a very busy couple of weeks ahead of you, and off the back of a fantastic Munster under 16A and B success. But on Sunday, Cork's Ayr under 16 All Ireland Championship round robin begins away to Galway in Duggan Park in Galway with a throw in of 2 p.m. On behalf of everybody here at the Big Red Bench, Brendan, we wish you and your management team and players all the best.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck to everyone involved. Now, having won the 2025 Munster Camogie Minor Championship title, Cork start their Electric Ireland Camogie Minor All Ireland Championship round robin series with a tough assignment at home to Tipperary in Castle Road, Cork, with a 2 p.m. throw in. Joe McCarthy spoke to Cork Camogie Minor manager Massey O'Sullivan ahead of the Rebels showdown with Tip.
On Sunday, February 16th in Castle Road in Cork at 2 p.m, the 2025 Electric Ireland Minor All-Ireland Camogie Championship gets underway with a Munster derby between Cork and Tipperary. Ahead of that game, we're delighted to be joined here on the Big Red Bench by the Cork Minor Camogie coach, Massey O'Sullivan. Massey, good to have you back on the bench again. How are you?
I'm very good, John. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Busy time for you, Massey, and your backroom team and your panel. You're coming off a Munster Championship success, and lo and behold, the first game of your Minor All-Ireland Championship is a familiar foe in Tipperary. So since we last spoke, when you won the Munster Minor Camogie title, how have preparations gone ahead of this clash?
Yeah, we've been working away. We've been keeping ourselves quiet, kind of not bigging up the Munster win, because we had to refocus, really. All-Ireland is a different mindset, and we faced Tipperary, which we have faced numerous times, tough team to break down, so we'd be looking forward to it. So we've just been keeping ourselves quiet, to be honest with you.
This year's All-Ireland Championship round robin stage is much earlier than usual, Massey, so I suppose, does that help? Has that helped the players in that you haven't had much time to bask in the glow of winning the Munster title? Eyes were very quickly focused on a game that was coming up so quickly anyway.
Yes, I suppose, look, we always knew that we were going to be meeting either Limerick or Tipperary in a Munster final after we won against Clare. And look, they've played each other. Limerick came out on top. Look, we were always focusing, I suppose, the big kind of teams in the All-Ireland series are like Limerick and Tipperary. So, look, we are keeping our heads down, and we're keeping our minds focused on Tipperary for Sunday.
In terms of preparation for an All-Ireland Championship, how much more did you learn from seeing the girls involved in competitive games as a coaching team and as a backroom team? How much of a benefit is it to see them in action in tight games heading into this?
Yeah, look, it's always great to be in tight games, and look, to come out with a win kind of gives you a boost, you know. And look, we've actually a very big squad, and a very competitive squad. So look, you know, we like to see the girls playing, and that's what it's all about. They love training, but look, most people love playing games, and that's what it's about, really.
The standard that you found in this year's Munster Championship, how high was it, and how much of a benefit is that again then when you're going to face Tip?
Yeah, look. There's nothing between us all. I suppose a pocket of all between us all, really. The standard has actually gone high. So look, we're happy to that. I suppose, look, the boost of winning Munster is great. But look, we're focused now on just getting over the line against Tipperary.
Sometimes you forget when you're talking about Minor Camogie All Ireland Championships, Massey, that these are still very young players you're dealing with. They're not senior players by any means. They're still minor. So there's a lot going on in their lives off the pitch. It's not a cliche, it's a reality. Talked about being focused and keeping under the radar, which is the right way to approach it. But how much does this team want to kick on in this All Ireland Championship?
Well, I think I have 10 girls from last year that unfortunately we didn't get going really last year, and probably lost an All-Ireland semi-final against Waterford, again another Munster team. So look, they're focused. A lot of these girls are focused. They really want to excel as a Camogie. So they're very, very dedicated. There's a lot of sacrifice in that. I suppose, yes, you're right. They do have a lot involved. We've about 5 or 8 girls also doing their Leaving Cert this year. So they have a lot to focus on as well. They have their studies and their Camogie. So look, as I said, they're a great bunch of girls that are very, very focused on what's coming forward to them.
We've also, we've just on this weekend's Big Red Bench, we're talking to Ger Manley, the Cork Camogie senior manager. And one of the things he's mentioned in that interview is the standards that the players have set at senior level, that when you're coming into the dressing room, when you're coming to training, there's a specific standard that you've got to meet now. You don't become 2-time back-to-back All-Ireland champions without doing that. I know as coaches that you can set the standards on the sideline, but how much of this group, because the more I read about them and the more I hear you talk about them, they seem very driven. As a minor panel, as much as a minor panel can be, but how much do they drive each other on?
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, look, we actually trained last night in the rain, and we didn't even want to go out in the rain, but the girls wanted to go out because they wanted to get out on the pitch. They wanted to, you know, because look, Sunday, as you know, playing this time of year, it's all weather this time of year. It's I suppose winter hurling or winter camogie, and look, they got out and they actually enjoy it. We had smiles on our faces coming in, a lot of mud and a lot of rain, but they were all delighted to actually get out on the pitch, which is that's how focused they are.
And you've had the benefit as well. I know Tip have as well. You know, it's not an ideal time of the year to be playing these championships or Munster championships. It's early in the year, and you've had heavy pitches, you've had bad weather. You want to get to the summertime, when you're still in an All Ireland championship to crack on from there. But does the fact that you've played in these conditions or the players are used to it, that's another benefit heading into Sunday. Even though the forecast looks good, it's still another benefit.
Oh yes, much so. Look, you also have the elements of the wind and stuff like that. But I think, look, I think they're so focused, so driven. They want to excel. I think they're really, really focused for Sunday, and hopefully we get over the line against it.
Indeed, and that's not going to be an easy thing to do considering the quality of opponent that you're coming up against. But on Sunday, the 16th of February, in Castleroad, Cork, Throne is at 2 p.m, the opening round of the 2025 Electric Ireland Minor All-Ireland Camogie Championships. It's Cork versus Tipperary. Massey O'Sullivan, manager, thanks very, very much for joining us on the Big Red Bench, and the best of luck.
Thanks very much, sir.
Yeah, the best of luck to everyone involved. The latest from Thomond Park, Munster, 24 points to the Scarlets, 8. Another huge win for Munster there. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey signing off. Bertie Kilfoyle is on the way next.